KX935. This is your full English breakfast. Tuck in.
Yes, there's an absolute storm of madness, storm of nonsense about to occur. Full English breakfast, Jason Fenny here with Martin Cohen. Martin's back. Wait a minute, let me get your mic on. Sorry, it's a bit early for this. You there?
Yep, I am. Good morning, mate. How you doing?
Great. Right, let's do it. That's full English breakfast, Jason Fenny, Martin Cohen. Oh, I'm so tired. I can't even tell you. I didn't get to bed till about 2:30 this morning.
What were you doing?
We were doing the fundraiser for the station where we raised, get this, $400 billion.
Excellent.
It's good, isn't it?
Did you sell yourself or how did you raise that?
Yeah, I sold my body, but I sold it by the pound, so I got a lot of money for that. And guess who else is here? Brad Benstock. I'll say hello, Brad, see if you're online.
Morning.
No, you can't. Wait a minute. Try that.
Which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches?
Yes, you're on now. You're on now.
Which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches?
Thank you. You're supposed to say check 1, 2.
Check 1, 2.
Good man.
Which wrist watches?
Excellent stuff. Well, in a week where lots of things happened, we're going to talk about some of them, aren't we?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm just here to promote my Kim Jong-un action figure.
Ah, now there you go. North Korea. Let's start with that. There's a suicide bloody mission.
No, he's joking.
You think so?
Yeah, of course.
No, he's John King. Gil.
If it happens this morning between 9 and 10, we can be the first to report it on the radio.
I'm going
to
do a full emergency thing. Run for the hills!
Let's do it anyway.
Those weird little Koreans are coming with their silly missiles that don't fire.
Misfired.
Yeah, they're rubbish.
Yeah, go on.
Hey, he's joking. I'm telling you, he comes from a family of great comedians. It's a joke. He's very funny, very dry, but very funny.
That's right. His grandfather was famously did the old Catskills, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, with his cigar. And
How about them Chinese, huh?
Where's Dennis Rodman when you need him anyway?
Right.
Shouldn't he get involved in this?
He was great.
Trying to calm him down?
He said he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Very intelligent.
And his people love him, whether they like it or not.
That's correct. And they do like it. That's the weird thing. It's a sort of placebo effect.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Well, it's not. It's
in the gulags, it is.
Pyongyang Syndrome.
Vaguely racist.
As long as it's only vaguely, then
just
we're
mildly.
Fine.
Yeah.
We can skip through it.
The censor's looking in through the window with one eye cocked.
I can say that kind of thing because I am...
A racist.
A racist. You know what? Let's have a what do you call it? An obnoxious jingle, and then we'll have a, let's play this great record that I found online this week. It's really great by the Matoids, and it's called Party Time. Party Time.
Full English Breakfast. Extra sausage for me, please.
Party Time. Party Time.
It's party time here on the KX93.5. James Penny, Martin Kern, let's get some business out of the way, shall we?
Business? What sort of business do we have here?
We've got business to do. Important business that we have to attend to before we get on with this thing. For example, it was a fantastic night last night at the Surf and Sand where we were raising money for this very station. It was really great, fantastic. Thank you to everybody who came along. And did that. Other business we got to talk about is this week, Tyler Russell will be broadcasting from Dana Hill's School Culture Fair. Attention, students of Laguna Beach High School or members of Laguna Beach Boys and Girls Club. Are you a photographer? Can you capture a great image of Laguna Beach? You could make the cover of the 2013 Laguna Beach Community Phone Book. Take a scenic, vertically oriented photo and submit it to the LBHS Photography Department. Deadline's 26th of April, and the winner will be announced live on the radio on Monday, good luck. There you go. So I've done that. Don't have to do any more of that. What have you been doing, Martin? You've come back from... where have you been?
I've been to England. For 10 days or so, while you were away in Japan, actually, probably around the same time.
International.
Brad was in Japan.
Brad was in Japan.
Continental.
Absolutely. I went with British Airways, actually.
Oh, what's that?
I went with British Airways, not with Continental.
That's good.
Although I do have a point system with Continental, so I really should have flown with them, but the flights were longer, so.
This is dead boring.
It's great radio.
It's great.
Did you do in England, Martin?
I had lots of full English breakfast, which was probably one of the highlights of the trip.
It's the highlight when I go.
It really was the highlight, honestly.
What is that? It's the eggs, it's the stewed tomatoes.
It's the eggs, it's sausage, tomato, beans.
It's the quality of the sausage, though. It's the quality of the bacon and the sausage.
So many punchlines.
Superior.
Way better. £4.99.
Very good quality sausage. £4.99, that's what, about $7?
Yeah, for a great breakfast.
It's brilliant, though, isn't it? Because every different place you go to, the sausages are even though you're...
It's regional.
You know, you're looking at me like I'm completely...
Well, and only 14 hours to get there for
10.
Breakfast?
But it's regional. The sausages are very... Like the accents or the dialects, they're regional, and they're great.
Regional sausage, I saw that. That was a terrible movie.
Have you seen the website, regionalsausage.com?
I'm not old enough. You got to be 72.
Great, and Brad, you've been in Japan.
I was in Japan. I'm jet lagged.
Is it true?
I'm on a combination of a little bit of Demitasse of espresso plus Adderall and Ritalin. And I feel fine now.
You don't look well.
Yeah.
I heard you're big in Japan.
I'm... Oh, wow.
That's a racist comment as well.
Terrible.
Do you know that scientists in Japan have used MRI scans to reveal images that people were seeing as they entered the early stages of sleep? They're reading people's dreams in Japan.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah? So they reckon they can do it with like a 60% accuracy. And this guy, Professor Yasuo Kamanakanakitaki, I hope I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, said he was not surprised but very excited.
I'm sorry, 60% accuracy is hit or miss. It's not.
No, it's a very good... Listen,
come on, to be able to say you picked up a boulder.
All right, tell me what I had dreamt about last night.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, that's very easy. Mrs. Pickles and your wife.
Oh, good God. No, it was an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
I wasn't going there. I'm related.
All right. So anyway...
And what did you dream about last night?
They put three people to sleep with sensors
on. That's a shame.
And then they woke them up and asked them to recount what they'd seen, no matter how surreal. Then they repeated the experiment 200 times for each person. So it's quite, you know, the big sample.
Yeah.
Then they built a database from the results, scanned the people again while awake and looking at images on a screen. Now they could match patterns of brain activity with the visual imagery in the next sleeping scan. Scientists could assess a broad category of images from the scanned brain stuff. But everybody's brains are different, so you have to know the test. You have to do the test on each individual to know what they're dreaming about.
I'm sorry, I can't accept that scientific study at all. If it's on three people or six people and they've done it 100 times on each person...
So you're saying that's rubbish?
It is. It's absolutely crap. Rubbish.
It's a start of something.
Forget it. No, forget it. Forget it.
It's Martin.
Crap. Martin, if you're not going to go there, that's fine. It happened in Japan. I was looking for Japanese stories to talk to Brad about.
We're looking for content here, Martin.
Yeah. Well, what about the...
It's just going to be dead air now. Sorry, listener.
If you want Japanese content or Japanese link content, what about that panda that died in the zoo?
Go on.
It died in the zoo.
Go on.
It only died once in the zoo.
That's it?
Yeah, it died.
Panda dies in zoo.
Panda
is that
dies
a story?
In zoo. Yes.
That's a sentence.
People love pandas.
Right. Should we talk a bit more about pandas? How many pandas do
How
you
many
know?
I know quite a few.
Yeah.
Dead air.
What happens... how do you give it a panda a black eye? You don't... He's already got two black eyes. That's racist against pandas.
There's that joke.
They're not black. They're not white. What do we? How do we deal with these guys? We can't. We don't know how to judge them.
They're Chinamen.
It's the same joke about same joke about the polar bear on the ice plateau. How does it hide? Covers its nose.
Right. Baldness. If you're going to go there, I'm doing baldness.
Ooh, top of the head baldness. I heard about this.
You hear about this? Bald men are more likely to have heart problems than their hirsute friends or cousins, even.
Yeah, 35, but not ones that are just receding. It's baldness on the top of the head, like 35% more likely to have a heart issue.
It's your crown.
I do have some hair coverage on the top of my head.
It's a bit, like a bit of puppy fur, though.
Yeah,
it's
you're
not
dead.
Bald. I'm not like shiny.
Yeah.
They studied 37,000 people.
That's a good sample.
And they said baldies were 32% more likely to have coronary heart disease. However, they say that the risks were less. The risks were less than for smoking or obesity. So, whichever way you look at it, Martin, you know, you're not looking too good there, mate. Baldy baldness is a fact of life for many men. Half have thinning hair by their 50s and 80% have some hair loss by the age of 70.
This is a laugh a minute.
Really Japan's researchers... It's all right. If it's a laugh an hour is good enough for this show. The Japanese researchers found that hair that went thin on the crown was associated with heart problems, but a receding hairline, as you rightly say, it did not seem to affect the risk.
Yep.
All this is after adjusting for other factors such as age and family history. So, Martin, you and I, we're
screwed.
Order a box, buddy. Yeah. But that's my Japanese stories, because that's all Japanese research.
Speaking of Japan, so I came back from Japan. There's a couple things that the Japanese get right that we get completely wrong, like leaving your shoes at the door. Leaving your shoes at the door when you walk in. And also, I got to say, it's disgusting, but the bidet.
What about it?
The bidet. That's correct. Okay, the way we do it, just wiping our...
That's French, not Japanese, though, Brad. That's not a...
Okay, but the Japanese, everywhere, they have these bidets.
Right.
And I didn't use them for the first 10 years or so. And I don't want to make any disgusting pictures in your mind, but they really are... They're great. I would say they're the shit, but I'm, you know...
You can't say that on the radio.
Oh, sorry.
So, but they squirt your bum with water, basically, after you've had a poo.
So that you're properly clean, not like us with our toilet paper.
Is it the same bowl? That one sits on...
No, it's a different toilet.
It's a different toilet altogether.
Usually, although I think the actual heads themselves are now can be fitted with the spray thing.
Yeah, they can. But the one at this one hotel, literally there were 9 buttons.
Really?
A whole console.
Did you try them all out?
What would you do?
Yeah, I'd try them all out.
Of course.
Try them all out. Have a little drink from it. Like a drink fountain.
Including the one called Power Deodorizer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they have an instruction manual in English as well as Japanese?
It had some English nomenclature on it.
Is it trial and error?
Well.
I'd like to know about the
error. You'll never know.
I'd love to have a go on that.
I'm telling you, Fed.
Martin and I have spent a lot of time in the Middle East, and the toilets, the Arab toilets with a hole in the ground where you've just got to crouch down.
Yeah.
That's very... For a young and lithe and fit and motivated man like myself, it's not so difficult, but... If you're like 70, how do you get crouched down like that and then stand up?
You never use the restroom.
You're used to doing it because you've used it all
probably.
Your life.
Right. You got those thigh muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the Japanese, I'm telling you, they must look at us and think we are disgusting, dirty people. And they do
that, but then we do that about them. So
they'd be looking up at us and thinking that.
It's mutual. All right, let's have a record and then we'll come back and have a chat about some other stuff. I've got a little list here. What do you fancy music-wise? Any sort of requests?
You got a lot of good stuff there. You got any Ron Sexsmith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Sexsmith. Oh, here's one. Look, that'd be perfect. Ron Sexsmith, Canadian singer-songwriter. Like him a lot. And if you know about him, then you are cool. Oh, yeah. Ron Sexsmith. I love that track. That's really great. Right, let's do politics then. Shall we? John Kerry, he's boring, isn't he? What? No? No takers on that? John Kerry's dead boring. I want Hillary Clinton back. She's lazy. He's dead boring. I saw him on the radio this morning. He crashed into a tree.
3 years, she'll be back.
You think so? She's going to be a doodah?
Yeah.
Tell you what, Kenyan Muslim devil worshipper Barack Obama has apologised today.
What for?
To the California Attorney General. By the way, anybody listening who thinks he's a Republican going, yay, turn this radio off. Attorney General for remarking, you know, when I said he was a devil worshipper. Sometimes I think you say those things and people like to go, oh, you know, there are people that don't that think I'm serious.
Please don't turn off. We need
I said something last night at the fundraiser on the mic, something about musicians, and I told them to go, you know, F themselves. And everyone was, oh, no. And I said, no, you need to, let me try to explain to the crowd. I'm English. I can't say I love you. It doesn't come out of my mouth very well, especially in a big set. One-on-one I can do it, but in front of a load of people, I can't say it. It doesn't come out of my mouth right. So I say, go, you know what, and you've got to read between the lines. You have to know that what I mean is I love you. That's how we do it.
Yeah, and you know what, Fed? Stick with the irony. F them if they don't understand it. So you don't want to talk to those people anyway.
No, you're in California. You've got to be a little bit
more.
Yeah,
like you have. You've really embraced the
culture.
Tell everybody
you love them.
Yeah. All right. What?
Personally and as a group.
Kenyan devil worshipper, Muslim.
Barack Hussein Obama.
Hussein. What does that tell you?
Osama.
Anyways, apologize to the California Attorney General for remarking on her appearance.
Yep.
At an event. Did you see this?
I did.
Obama described Kamala Harris, a longtime friend, as the best looking attorney general in the country.
Is she really that cute?
Not. She's actually not the best looking attorney. I found one that's cuter.
Yeah, but he's married.
Anyway, critics have cited the remark as an example of the ongoing hurdles women face in the workplace. Po-faced bores.
Yeah, but just before he said that, he also mentioned a bunch of things that had nothing to do with her looks. That
he
she was capable,
just before he said it, he grabbed her butt.
No. You know, Albert Brooks
tweeted... He tried to kiss her. He lunged over and tried to kiss her.
Albert Brooks later tweeted that... No, Gary Shandling did, that he was offended. He was also offended by Obama's remark because she's not attractive.
Right. Well, that's right. She's a no. She might be the best looking, but that doesn't Attorney General. But that doesn't say much.
Yeah. And since when can someone not compliment someone? You know, they've been friends for years, Obama and that woman.
Right.
When you say friends,
I
mean strictly sexual.
Okay.
Right. But you've got. I mean, it's you. Even though people don't go into politics, you know, cute people generally don't go into politics. So they're mostly ugly weirdos.
Henry Kissinger. He was cute.
Yeah, smoking. Smoking
sexy.
Hot.
Hang on, let's put some sexy.
Yeah, he really puts the kiss in Kissinger.
You should do this for a living, mate. You thought about taking up comedy, you know, as a thing?
Nope.
No.
But it's your patriotic duty to find Hillary Clinton attractive, don't you think?
Not really.
I fancy the Queen.
I don't
you
want
fancy
my
a queen or the queen?
The queen.
Oh, okay.
I don't want
she
my...
She got a BAFTA this week, the queen.
Honorary BAFTA.
Was it just an honorary one?
Oh, yeah. Well, she's not been in
it. Not honorary, but honorary.
What's
honorary.
A BAFTA?
It's a British Association of Film and Television Award. Yeah.
Is it serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For lifelong support of the British film industry.
Oh, that's great.
Sir Kenneth Branagh, he of the...
No lips.
No lipstick. No lipstick needed, thank you. When he goes in for his thing, when he gets his... What do you call it? Makeup girl. She's really pleased because she doesn't have to... No lipstick.
I saw it on TV the other night and...
What?
The BAFTAs? Him giving her the award. And it was actually... the whole thing was rather jovial, which was quite...
She's very nice. Come on.
Queen-like.
Well, she did that film last year for the Olympics with Danny Boyle. And Daniel Craig.
That's
Danny
correct.
Boyle was the director.
I don't think it was her that actually parachuted out of the helicopter there.
No. No, she is no Ursula Andress, is she? But it is your patriotic duty to want to give her one. Or if you're Jewish, lend her one.
Lend her one.
Anyway, Branagh give her that. She was a Bond girl. She's also getting £5 million. Did you see that? She's getting a pay rise of £5 million. That is
$7.5 million.
She's got a pay rise.
I actually, There's a bit of a personal link here because I met Kenneth Branagh's wife. I actually moved her back to England.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
They were living in
Redondo Beach.
Redondo
somewhere.
Beach, yeah, that's right, Manhattan Beach. Yeah.
And you also got a pay cut recently.
I also got a pay cut, really?
Oh, they didn't tell you.
Tell you about that. Yeah, you didn't get the memo.
No.
Yeah.
Right, because the pay rise of £5 million was of course criticised by anti-monarchy groups like Republic, which is a group in Britain who opposed the monarchy. They said it was absurd. She got £31 million last year, so you know, do the math, about $50 million, and she's getting £36 million this year with an extra million bonus for the Diamond Jubilee. Yeah, love.
Here's a million.
Here's a million for it. There's a sweetener. Go buy yourself something nice.
She's got a lot of people to pay and a lot of houses to keep up. So it's she needs the money.
Of course. It's very easy to make fun of her, but...
That poor woman.
Republic said it was a monumental stitch-up and the royals should learn to live within their means. Well, they've got $36 million. I think they can live within their means.
And that's just her, though. That's not the rest of the family. But
is it just her?
It's just her, yeah. It's really? Not the family. The family get on top of that as well.
I thought that she had a little meeting every week and hands out wads of cash.
No.
To Prince Charles and
all. You know, the vet bills for those two dogs are enormous.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They're very cute dogs. Where's our dog?
They're only cute because of all the cosmetic surgery.
Mrs. Pickles is here. She'd like to say a few words.
She's somewhere.
Where is she?
Hello, Pickles. Mrs. Pickles.
Is she there? Oh,
yeah, she's here.
Mrs. Don Rickles.
Good. Yeah, Mrs. Pickles. So they're good stories, aren't they, from England?
Talking of good stories, you heard the one about Target. They're in having a few problems.
Oh, that's a funny story.
Having a few problems.
They've apologised for labelling a plus-sized dress after a fat marine mammal.
The manatee.
The dress. Shall I read it out so we get the uproar followed. Uproar. Can you hear Pickles? She's there. Shut up, Pickles. She's uproar followed when a presumably fat shopper tweeted a screen grab of the manatee grey dress from Target's website. The smaller size of the same dress is called Heather Grey.
Wow.
Heather Grey, not Heifer. Not Heifer Grey.
Wow.
Heather Grey, right? So Target has listed both dresses as grey now. A fat aquatic relative of the elephant, manatees are sometimes called sea cows. Also, fatty, blubber guts, lardy bum, and slobby fat chops.
Which are nice names for dresses.
Slobby Fat Chops, that's my name. I'm going to go out and buy the wife a Slobby Fat Chops dress. We should start a business.
Did you take a look online at the actual dress itself?
No.
The grey manatee dress. It actually looks quite like a manatee.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
With a lot of pleats. More pleats than a manatee, though.
I was fat for a long time. Still a bit porky on the belly. Around the old midriff.
Cue the violin music.
And you always see fat people on telly saying that fat is beautiful. Well, I'm here to tell you. It's not. It's bloody unsightly, and frankly, it's unhealthy as well.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Beauty is skin deep, Martin, but ugliness goes to the bone.
Thank you so much. This will be our last show. We loved serving you.
We do like fat people.
There's no fat people in Laguna. It's Laguna Beach. They're not allowed in. They check them. Check your weight on the way in. There's a weigh station in the canyon. Speaking of Laguna Beach, there's loads of stuff happened and gone on this week. Did you know that, Martin?
I did know that, Jason.
Okay, so here's what's happened in Laguna Beach this week. Just a couple of things, because I can't do everything. But if you've got, by the way, listener, if you've got stuff on your mind that you want to tell us about that we should know and we should tell the world about, it can't be a profit-making thing, but if you've got, like, non-profit stuff, whatever, I love to do local stuff. You know, feed the world with local information. Request line is 949-715-KXFM, 949-715-5936. Listener-supported Public Radio, KX935. So, Laguna Beach Sister Cities had a thing this week. Did you know we had a sister city?
We've got two, I understand, at least.
We've got a new one now. That's what the thing was about.
What, is it Whittier?
No, it's Puerto Madre.
It's San Clemente.
San Clemente.
We're Siamese twins. Sister City. They had an event, Cinco de Abril Mexican Fiesta, that was on as the weekend sometime. San Jose del Cabo is our new sister city in Mexico.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's the correlation between that city and Laguna Beach?
There's a tunnel between them and us is where the drugs come in.
Okay. Right. And they had 753 murders last week and we didn't have any.
So it's very similar.
Yeah.
Fish tacos, I think, would be the only similarity. Really.
Yeah. So they have that thing in the art centre courtyard opposite the Surf and Sand. And we've also got... Oh, they've got another thing coming up, the Fête de la Musique. That's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Meaning literally the Fête of the Music.
The Fête of the Music, it's called.
I think it will be pronounced Fée.
Fête de la Musique.
Fête de la Musique.
No, I think it's Fête.
I think it's Fête as well.
Yeah.
Really?
It's Fête. It's named after the cheese. With buskers all over town in the streets and local businesses. That's pretty cool. So we're twinned with, did you say twinned?
Sister.
We're twinned.
We're sistered. We're siblinged. No, we're siblinged with this place, San Jose del Cabo, and also Menton in France.
Menton.
Menton.
Isn't Menton a...
chewing gum.
No, isn't it? It's a...
Oh, wait a minute, the phone's ringing. Should you just answer it on, just see what it is?
Yeah, of course.
It's a medical institution, I think.
Let me see if I can do this. I think you pick the thing up. I think you do this. Oh, no, that's not it. Yeah, maybe it is it. And then you do that. Anybody there? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear people?
Yeah, can't you?
No, I can't hear anybody.
No, he's joking.
No.
Speak, caller.
Who's there?
Speak.
Hello, Rick. Just a minute. I'm trying to get you on the air, mate, but I'm failing miserably. Let's try this.
I get you the teach.
Oh, there you are. You're on the air now, mate.
Oh, wow.
No swearing, Rick Conkey.
Oh, yeah. No swearing. That I don't swear after last night hearing you swear on the stage. It was
Did I swear
remarkable.
On stage? Well, that's I'm very... You know what? I'm a lovable rogue, Rick.
Oh, my God. You're too funny.
What's happening?
The reason I'm calling is that we're challenging the town. We're going to try to demonstrate how a music festival can drive and spur action.
All right, I'm cutting him off right now.
Yeah, that's enough.
We don't want to talk about this. No. All right. Seriously, you know, what Rick does, he's got this organization called Blue Water, and they are very active in cleaning up the beaches and all that other stuff. Although last time, Rick, I must say, when I went down there, the beach looked pretty clean. It was a bit embarrassing.
Yeah, that's where we're going to go to the streets too, and a few
to
other
the streets
things,
too. Go on. So what's occurring? You've got an event.
Well, what we're trying to do is demonstrate how arts can spur action, especially music. And so we're going to give people a music festival as a reward. And we're going to try to demonstrate how we can clean the entire city of Laguna Beach, all the streets, all the downtown streets, and all the beaches in 30 minutes.
Right.
And anybody that does that gets not a free ticket. They get half off the $30 ticket to see some incredible artists down at the Cliff Restaurant.
At the Cliff, what's the date of this?
That's Sunday, April 28th.
Okay.
The cleanup's at 12 noon. If people want to volunteer, they need to contact me at rickconkey@gmail.com.
Rick Conkey, RickConkey.
You got it.
RickConkey@gmail.com, and it's April 28th, and they're going to go around the streets cleaning up. Well, it's bloody...
For 30 minutes as well.
Martin's shaking
30
his
minutes.
Head because he's a cynic, but I think it's a brilliant thing that you do, Rick, and thank you very much.
Fun. Well, thank you. Thanks for helping me get the word out, and hope everybody does contact me, and thank you, Jason, for what you're doing. We love you.
Oh, man.
And Martin, you look great.
No, yeah, it's a good face for
radio. Love it, buddy. See you later, Brad. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks, Rick. That's Rick Conkey. He does a show on this very radio station on a Thursday night. He's called Music Matters, and he has bands on and all that. Do you know we have more live music on this station than any bugger around the world? We're amazing.
You are amazing.
Oh, I love it. I love sitting here doing this. So what else? What else? That's it, innit?
Scrotum lifts.
I heard.
Yeah, I was listening to another station.
What's that station?
Apparently it's the newest. And the best, the greatest cosmetic surgery thing that's going on these days.
Right. You're really pumping it up.
Botox for your bollocks.
Yeah, people are going in for scrotum lifts. And I was thinking when I was listening to the article, what a great idea for men. Have a scrotum lift and put a Bluetooth chip in your scrotum. And you're never going to ever have a problem with connectivity wherever you may be.
Right, like a hotspot.
Oh, you'd be a walking hotspot.
Hotspot in your undies.
Yeah.
Why in your scrot?
Well, because if you're having a bit of surgery there, you might as well
do it while they're doing it.
Oh, right.
My dog's got a chip in it, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Is your dog a hotspot?
She has hotspots.
Well, hey, that's interesting you say that because it's 40 years this week since the cell phone was invented.
That's right.
And one of the things they used to say about that was when you're born, they used to... This guy, Mike Cooper, who was like the... he was the inventor, actually, Martin Cooper. He said that the joke around the office at the time was, one day you'll be born, you'll be issued a number, phone number, and if somebody calls you and you don't answer, you're dead.
That's interesting. Very Andy Warhol.
First cell phone call was made 40 years ago this week by Martin Cooper, Motorola's then vice president, standing on the steps of New York's Hilton on 6th Avenue. He called the head of research at Bell Labs, which was their direct competition. They were also looking, so he called this guy.
Nice.
Motorola's competitor, which was then also trying to build a mobile phone. The phone weighed 2.5 pounds. It was a great big clunky thing. It lasted 20 minutes, the battery. It's interesting, isn't it? 1992 was the first text. Do you know what the first text was?
What?
LOL. First game, 1994. Phone, cell phone game. Any ideas? Come on, you know what it is. Everybody knows.
First cell phone game?
Yeah. Come on, Brad, you're our resident.
A Tetris.
Yes, of course. 2004 was the first Wi-Fi equipped cell phone. You can do anything on your phone now.
Speaking of LOL, I heard a story about misunderstanding. A lot of people apparently thought that LOL meant lots of love. And this one woman was sending an email to her sister, to her friend whose mother had died. And she wrote this very nice long email saying, I'm so sorry, I just want to let you know that we support you in whatever you need from us. LOL, Nancy.
Oh, that's great. It's a bit sad, though, isn't it? Oh, by the way, I have to mention that Laguna Beach Sister Cities. To find out more about that, there is a website, LagunaBeachSisterCities.com. LagunaBeachSisterCities.com. Just to make sure that everybody knows that. Otherwise, I'll get phone calls and emails complaining. Because,
For that, you're going to get phone calls and emails complaining?
Somebody will ring up and say, could you please mention? So, anyway, I've done it now. Well, let's do some stories that... Do you have this, Brad, do you have this phrase? You're American, aren't you?
Quite.
Yes. Do you have this phrase here, you wouldn't touch something with a barge pole?
No, 10-foot pole.
10-foot pole. Okay, here's stories you wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. Let's see if you guys will, take the bait. All right. Friend of the show, Pope Frankie the Hat, Pope Francis the First, has called for more action on sex abuse in the church. Anybody? Any takers?
He's looking for more sex abuse in the church, or he's looking,
For more action. Yeah, more action.
More action. Well, I heard about him kissing the feet of one of the victims, right?
Yeah, they don't get any action. That's the whole point.
Right. Yeah, but he did kiss... He also kissed Kim Jong-un's feet. I saw that. I'm pretty sure.
I was talking to this Irish guy once a long time ago, and I said to him... we were talking about golf, and he was a golfing guy, and... He said, I prefer sex to golf. He said, I have more sex than I play golf. And I said, how much sex do you have? And he said, about once a month. And I said to him, well, that's not very much, is it? And he said, well, it's not bad for a priest in a small town.
George Burns once said that that having sex at his age is like shooting pool with a rope.
Oh, that's my friend Larry says that. Hey, talking of Larry. It's the Art Star Awards tonight.
Ba-boom.
Larry Gill's up for one. He's up for Artist of the Year. Larry Gill, who's done all those brilliant things around town. The big waves at the end of Forest Avenue there, Larry Gill's work.
Yeah, he's a good man.
There's a couple of benches
collaborated with Gavin Heath there, yeah. Anyway, I'm up for an award.
No way. What do you got?
I bloody well am. Don't even question my pocket. I'm up for Fattest English Jew. Award.
No, that's not it. Come on.
No.
Now you're just joking.
It's our best new arts program. I'm making fun of it because I'm embarrassed and awkward.
Good.
About it. But it's very much a thing, isn't it? I mean, to be acknowledged even that way by your peers.
If you were to get an award this evening, it'd be your second award in number of years, didn't you? Once
2006.
Was it
2006? Orange County Music Award. Yeah.
You see, you remember it. You remember the date.
Of course,
you remember the
you
year.
Were there. Sure. You guys both came with me to
the got the award in his pocket.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, this award, they charged me $70 for the ticket to go in there for the wife. So I'm going to sell this award on eBay if I win it, so I'll pay for dinner.
For $72.
Make your profit.
Well, I've got to get back the, what do you call it, the postage and packing. What else? Another story you don't want to touch. A US federal judge has ordered the government to make the morning after pill available to girls of all ages, not just those of over 18. You know what the morning after pill is?
The pill you take in the morning.
Some
afterwards.
People call it the abortion pill, which is incorrect. It is it prevents conception.
Honestly, abortion
pill. I'm saying...
There's not even been conception. Nothing's happened.
Right, it prevents conception. I'm just bringing that to light.
I think a chastity belt on over the counter would
right.
be better.
That's what you should. That's what they should all should wear. And a big hat that says, I'm wearing a chastity belt.
I actually saw a picture, I was reading the news in Japan, of a sort of female condom that has, like, fangs in it.
Right.
That to prevent rape. Or discourage it once it's begun.
You know what? It's absolute madness. These people need to find something else to do. Okay, here's another one. It's March Madness! Rutgers University basketball coach was fired for throwing balls at the players, whacking them with athletic equipment, ranting and yelling homophobic slurs.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
And he got fired for that.
He got fired, yeah. And Fox News were all like, what's wrong with them? These people, it's the fairification of the United States, the wussification of the United States.
I'm with Fox on this.
Oh, please. They're saying the people, they need more discipline. What's wrong with that? Calling them fairies and all this, whacking them with a thing. It's and it was that guy, what's his name? Hannity. Sean Hannity.
What a haircut.
These people are the wussies and they need more discipline. My father used to whack me with a strap and I turned out okay. And I'm like, really? Really?
Model citizen.
Have you heard the podcast of your show, pal? Because you're really not okay.
Right.
What an idiot. Anyway, film critic Roger Ebert passed away this week. Any jokes on that?
Yeah, no, R.I.P.,
thumbs up.
Man. No.
Got a thumb up. Too soon.
Too soon, man.
Too soon for that.
No,
yeah.
he was a good guy.
No, he was a wonderful guy, yeah. Yeah. Four Democrats in the U.S. Senate. You're not coming back on this show.
No, whatsoever.
Four Democrats in the U.S. Senate still do not support gay marriage. But this still means 53 senators, that's a majority, now support the concept that 85 voted to ban in 1996 with the Defense of Marriage Act. Do you understand that? Have I said that too quickly?
I wasn't listening.
Oh, God. It's all about gay marriage. How do you feel about gay marriage, Martin?
I'm for it.
Me and Ava, my wife, we're going to have a gay marriage.
I'd love to marry some gay people.
We're just doing it in solidarity. Because we feel that our marriage is very much at threat from gay marriage. I feel.
Yeah.
Well, they come running in the house all the time with pieces of paper.
I think it's the other way around.
What?
That you're a threat to gay marriage.
No. Well, I do think they should think about it seriously because it's a major commitment. But as far as what actually the fact of them getting married, that is, I'm just irritates me.
Silly people. Silly people who reject something like that.
Really, so pathetic. Anyway, those are stories that anyone's got. Oh, well, the UN has halted food aid to Gaza after an attack by Palestinians on aid centres. Are we going to talk about that?
What is there to talk about?
Well, and they're not even starving, apparently. Apparently there's food in the zoo. I mean, you know, no one's a greater supporter of the Palestinians than me, but whatever.
Well, Yasser Arafat was.
Yasser. I think he was a good supporter of himself. Hey, it's 9:50 on KX93.5. KX93.5. Let's not have a record, because we can talk a bit more about something else. What do you want to talk about, Martin?
Let's have a sing-along.
Yeah, let's. You know what everybody likes?
Sing-alongs.
Everybody likes this. This is a good one. And we'll have this one, and then we'll have a quick more chat, and then we'll be gone, and then Steve will be in. And it looks like I'm having breakfast by myself this morning, because nobody wants to come with me. You guys are dead boring.
Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hiding in a hiding place where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes. It's a little secret, just the Robinson's affair. Most of all, you have to hide it from the kids. Coo-coo-ca-choo, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon, going to the candidates' debate. Shout about it when you've got to choose. Every way you look at it, you lose. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Ooh, what's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Joe to Joe has left and gone away.
Yeah, I have a Paul Simon story. We've just been doing Paul Simon stories off the air. So this is my friend of mine, Scott, right? He's another Jewish guy. We're all, you know, three of us here are Jews. So I mentioned that because it's part of the story. So anyway, he's in his restaurant and he sees Paul Simon with a bunch of people. And they've been expressly told by the staff, don't go over and, you know, don't hassle him, Paul Simon. He gets hassled everywhere he goes. So anyway, Scott thought, nah, I'm going over there. Because, you know, grew up listening to his music, loves the stuff. Goes over there and he says, hi, Paul, you know, just want to say I'm a big fan and it's a pleasure to, you know, just see you in the flesh. And they're all looking daggers at him, like, you know, all the band and everybody. He says, oh, and I got your new record and blah. And one of the band says, oh, yeah, did you download it? And my friend Scott said, well, actually, no, I bought it. I got it from iTunes, you know. So, yeah, I bet you stole it, this guy. Because they were upset that he'd come over. Paul Simon looks at him and he goes, do you eat in this restaurant a lot? And my friend Scott goes, yeah, I come here quite a lot. He says, it's a sushi place. These salmon rolls, are they very spicy? It's a very Jewy, that's a Jewy moment. Are they very spicy? All of a sudden, that moment, it was just two old, grumpy old Jewish men worrying about the spice and the fish. No?
I don't get it. Is it a metaphor?
Oh, dear.
No, I'm looking for something more in there.
You
as
want
well.
Something more than that?
Yeah. I need it spoon fed.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Is there some metaphor between the spice and the fish and the downloading of the music?
Is it very spicy? What's the food like? Is it very spicy? And the portions? And the portions, are they very big? How big are they?
I think it's that thing, isn't it?
No, I look at it another way. I think that's Paul Simon trying to be cheeky to him, saying, yeah, go away.
No.
He just didn't take the did you buy the record thing. He did it in a more...
Really?
Zen.
Seriously?
Around the outside.
All right, it's 9:57. I want to say congratulations to Mark Miller and Ava Burton for doing a brilliant job at BC Space, raising money for the Friendship Shelter, doing their play Love Letters, which was a brilliant, brilliant thing, and they did it, and it was good, and it's going to get great notices in the press, no doubt. If it doesn't, I'll be strangling people at the Independent. And that's it. So, very good. Dead happy. Thank you for coming in here, Bradford, and swearing a lot.
Thank you for having me. I'll never swear again, because you'll never allow me in again.
That's not cool. And then, Martin Cohen, I'm glad you're home.
It's nice to be back.
Thank you for coming home and being part of this great thing. KX935.com. Listener-supported public radio. Forgot what we were doing there for a minute. Listener-supported public radio had a great night last night, and I hope we raised a boatload of money. I don't know yet what it was, but there you go. I'm going to go to a restaurant in town and have something to eat. That's what I'm going to do, take the dog. I'm going to go to a restaurant where you can sit on the patio and fit and get fed dog biscuits. I can't say what it is, but that's where I'm going. All right. Thank you very much for listening, all. I will be back sometime this week. I think I've got them sitting in for somebody again this week, I think. And thank you for supporting the little radio station that could. See if I don't see you then, see you...
next time.
See you next time. All right, guys. Be careful.
Jason Ferry, KX935.
Full English Breakfast. Extra sausage for me, please.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack, and you may find yourself in another part of the world, and you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. You may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself,